Welcome to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services, a show about coping with getting older ourselves and dealing with our aging parents. If you have questions about how to cope with these stresses, call Scott at 877-960-9960. Now, here's Scott.
Welcome, everybody. Another edition of Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. And I hope wherever you are safe. I know there's a lot of accidents out there. The weather's terrible. 95 is a mess. The turnpike was a mess. I don't even know if it's reopened yet or not. If you're in Martin County on 106.9, please be careful. If you're here in Palm Beach County, listening on 95.9 as well. Take your time. You'll get home and you have us to listen to. And we have a great show for you tonight. We're going to be talking to to one of my favorite people. I mean that sincerely. She's here every year at this time for a special reason, and that's because we're going to talk about what she is so instrumental in bringing to us, and that is Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference. Dr. Karen Gilbert. It's the first time I've been able to introduce her like that. I'm going to talk more about that in just a minute. She's back to talk about this amazing conference, which is coming up on May 29th. And we're going to give you all of the details on Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference. So I encourage you to get a pencil if you don't have it, because this is an event. If Alzheimer's is in your family, or you're concerned about it, or you think it may be, or you want to get involved in help, or you just want to know more, this is an event you're not going to want to miss. But before I get to Karen, I have a few things to remind everybody. I'm speaking tomorrow. I'm very excited about this. I'm speaking tomorrow to the Ort chapter at the Cascades in, I guess it's Boynton Beach. It's not Del Rey, it's Boynton. I'm going to be speaking, I think, at 9:15 or 9:30. If you're a member of Ort or know somebody at the Cascades who is, and you want to come hear me, I'll be there tomorrow morning, and I am really, really looking forward to that. I'm also going to be one of the speakers at Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference, and we'll talk about what I'm going to be talking about in just a little bit, but I don't want to steal my guest's thunder. Before I get to that conference, if Parkinson's is your issue, if Parkinson's is in your family, there is a symposium the day after the Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational Conference. So there is a Parkinson's symposium called New Frontiers in Research and Care. It's Thursday, May 30th from 8 to 12. It's at the Marriott in Palm Beach Gardens. Attendance is free, but advance registration is required. If you want to learn more, you can go to www.parkinson.org/Palm Beach or call Krista Ellis at 305-537-9960. Dr. Dalvi is going to be there, and Anna Nato from the Parkinson's Foundation, and you're not going to want to miss that. Also want to remind everybody, and I will remind you again at the end of the show, that we do now 8 support groups a month, and I want to give you the details of those. So please get a pencil, as I said, ready, and I will give you all the details. We do support groups everywhere from Boca Raton up to Stewart, and we're doing them both for Alzheimer's and dementia-related diseases and for Parkinson's, and I will tell you more about it at the end of the show. But the reason you tuned in is to hear my guest, so let me tell you a little bit more about Karen. Karen, by the way, is a brand new doctor. She just got her PhD. I think it's not much more than a week ago, is it?
Well, it's actually a DNP,
okay,
which is a doctor of nursing practice.
Okay.
So we sometimes call ourselves nurse doctors. But what that means is we kind of dovetail with what our PhD partners do. The PhDs do the research and develop new knowledge and then the DNPs actually apply that in the clinical settings.
It's an amazing accomplishment. I can't tell you how proud I am of you. I know how proud you are of you, and you should be, and I'm excited for you. So,
you.
Dr. Karen Gilbert is the Vice President of Education and Quality Assurance for Alzheimer's Community Care. As you have already guessed, she's a registered nurse and has worked in healthcare administration for more than 35 years. She holds a certificate in Alzheimer's disease training from Florida Department of Elder Affairs, as well as designation as a certified dementia practitioner from the National Council of Certified Dementia Practitioners. Her Doctor of Nursing practice came from Palm Beach Atlantic University. She previously had received her Bachelor of Science degree from the State University of New York, Downstate Medical Center, and her Master's in Science degree in Health and Human Services from Nova Southeastern. She has authored
yes.
three poster presentations for national gerontological conferences and is the author of Standard, Routine Cognitive Screening, An Idea Whose Time Has Come. And we're going to talk about that a lot tonight, which is being published in the next Certified Senior Advisors Journal. And as if we don't have enough in common, I just wrote an article for that next edition as well.
Excellent.
But in 2017, Karen was recognized with the 2017 Palm Beach County Medical Society Hero in Medicine Award for Education. Karen, welcome back to the show.
Thank you. It is a pleasure to be here. We're so grateful for the invitation every year.
Thank you. So let's talk about the conference, because the conference is maybe some people remember it as having been in West Palm Beach, although it wasn't there last year. It's a different format this year, and it's at a different location. So let's talk about the details, because everybody needs to know that, and then we'll talk about the content.
Absolutely. We have moved the conference to the PGA National Resort and Spa, which is actually the midpoint of our service area. Alzheimer's Community Care serves families in Palm Beach, Martin, and St. Lucie counties. So this puts us just about right in the middle, so our families from both sides of the service area can attend. And it will be a full day. It begins, actually, the doors will open by 7:30 in the morning, so people can come and get settled, and all of our vendors will be ready to go and ready to talk with the attendees. And we have a very full program. We will be talking during the breakfast session about what has been accomplished with specialized Alzheimer's daycare. We will also be talking about recent studies that I have done in what we learn when we actually screen adults to see if there is an emerging cognitive impairment. We'll talk a little bit about more about that as we go along on the show. We also have 6 breakout sessions. Again, you will be presenting one of those.
We're excited about it.
Excellent choices. We have 3 at a time, back to back. And then we have our midday session, which will be attended by the Secretary of the Department of Elder Affairs, Richard Prudhomme, and followed by a former Governor Martin Schreiber of Wisconsin. An amazingly insightful caregiver, has cared for his wife now for many years. He wrote the book, My Two Elaines, about his wife before Alzheimer's and since Alzheimer's. He has an incredibly important message for caregivers.
Yeah, I just read an article that he was quoted on extensively that you were kind enough to send me. It's very moving, and I can't imagine that if he doesn't speak to that, that when he speaks to that, there won't be a dry eye in the house, but you'll also learn a lot. So I'm looking forward to hearing Governor Schreiber talk about his two Elaines. It's
he really does address, and this article that was in last Sunday's Milwaukee newspaper really talks about understanding the disease, not being able to fight with the disease, and understanding how your loved one changes and how you have to change as a caregiver, and how certain parts of this journey were very difficult, but actually improved his life and probably his wife's as well.
Right.
So he'll give the details on that, and I think it will be an incredible experience. And then later in the afternoon, we have Ted Fisher, who is the CEO of Ageless Innovation. And this company is really specializing in innovative techniques and products for patients with Alzheimer's or related disorders, and we actually use their robotic pets in our day centers.
Yeah, and you're going to be introducing robotic pets to the attendees, for most of whom have never seen them and probably don't even know they exist.
We will have quite a few at the conference, and we will also be giving some away. So some lucky winners will leave with a cat or a dog. And they are amazingly engaging. These pets are actually covered with sensors. So when you interact with the pet, depending on where you touch the pet or groom the pet, they react to you. The cat, a little more independently and unpredictably than the dog, as is in real life. They tend to have a mind of their own. They will roll over when they feel
That's
like
great.
It. But it really keeps people engaged.
I love it.
And they purr and they meow. And they have none of the disadvantages of a live pet, which can be very dangerous for older adults
right.
in terms of falls. They don't need to be fed, and they don't need to be cleaned up after. They won't bite, and they won't jump off their lap. They can engage with them as long as they like.
Given that my presentation is going to be on the marrying of high tech and high touch, I can't wait to see these because that may say everything, and everything I will have to say will be useless.
Well, one of the things we've learned, and any caregiver will know, there's a tremendous amount of trial and error. There's no one rule book. There's no one guidebook. There's no one recipe for caring for someone affected by Alzheimer's or related disorder. So we try different things, but everything that we try actually has science behind it. There are peer-reviewed studies on the impact of robotic pets and many of the other innovations that we've introduced, fidget pillows, memory card games. There's actual science behind why these work for many patients.
So as I began to look at the agenda and having spoken to you a couple of times recently, I think more so than any conference I've ever attended, and this is the, believe it or not, this is the ninth time I'll be speaking at one of your conferences. This is the best marriage of the soft touch side of caring for somebody
yes.
with Alzheimer's, the personal touch, the kind of practical information that we need to know, the science behind it, and the changes, because there are real changes in the world of Alzheimer's and related diseases, and people are still looking for a magic cure, but of course that isn't what Alzheimer's community care is all about. But in this conference, more so from what I've seen, I mean, you could disagree with me, this is really enveloping all of the elements that are going into the world of Alzheimer's disease today.
This conference is really focused on how do we care for the people who are affected, for whom there is no cure and there is no treatment that modifies the disease in any way. And this is fairly stunning. I don't know of any other disease that we've known about for 113 years that really has had no advance.
Right.
What we also know is that we have to care for the caregiver. In our service area, we have there's a total population of estimated 70 to 80,000 affected patients. And these are the ones we know about.
Right.
We know most people are not diagnosed until middle stage, because we have no standard in place for screening. So the number could likely be much higher in our three counties, again, Palm Beach, Martin, and St. Lucie. In Florida, there's estimated well over 500,000
right.
affected patients, again, that we know of. Each and every one of them has at least one caregiver or family member involved. So this is a tremendous number of people affected by the disease, and they need help now. No cure, no treatment. They need help now.
And people are always looking for the magic bullet or the solution. And what you're really engaged in and what the conference is engaged in is saying that's okay. We're all in favor of all the research, and we all want that to happen. But in the meantime, we have to kind of cope with what we're dealing with here and living with that. And that's what both this conference and what Alzheimer's Community Care does. But we are learning a whole lot more, aren't we? We are. And I wanted to go to something that you said. You said there's no real screening or that we know. As part of your doctoral program, you actually developed a program that some people are starting to take, and that kind of reinforces your point about it may affect more people than we think it does.
Absolutely.
I know that was a long-winded way to get into that.
Absolutely. But the problem is many people are not diagnosed until middle stage because they can get through that annual physical with their primary care provider, and no one will notice. They can compensate, they can cover for it, and they don't really even realize that there's a change happening. If we screen them, we can identify that their cognition is not 100%. Now, that does not automatically mean they have Alzheimer's or a related disorder, but it does mean something's going on. And we now know that there are many treatable reasons why someone may not be able to score a perfect score on a brief cognitive screen. Clinical depression, very common condition, certainly treatable. Simple electrolyte imbalances that can happen from dehydration or not eating well. Underactive thyroid, very common as we get older, men and women, easily treated. Vitamin B12 deficiency. It's said that if we're over 50, we likely need B12. Vegans of any age, regardless of how young they are, if they are vegan, they are likely deficient in B12. So they are actually increasing their risk for ultimately developing Alzheimer's disease if they do not address the B12 deficiency.
Wow. I never heard that before.
It's simple. It's a simple blood test, and B12 is a very inexpensive vitamin, very easy to take. There are some people who don't absorb it through the stomach, and they may need that once-a-month injection. But again, it's easily treatable. Poorly controlled blood sugar. We know we have many people with type 2 diabetes developing who are unaware. They may actually appear to be cognitively impaired, but what they have is diabetes. Brain tumors. We just recently encountered a family where the supposed patient with Alzheimer's was found not to have Alzheimer's at all. She had a treatable brain tumor.
Wow.
And so we need to look for these things. Women in menopause have been misdiagnosed with Alzheimer's.
Wow.
And certainly medications, the effects of medications. We take so many medications.
So one of the things you told me before we went live on the air was that you have you're working with two practices to develop a screening model. Or
yes.
Nothing revolutionary in that. In the sense that the screening model isn't revolutionary, the fact that people are doing it is revolutionary.
Well, exactly, and it's so incredibly simple. You know, sometimes we worry about interventions being expensive or involving radiation or something like that. This is incredibly simple. Our federal government, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, actually mandate a very brief screening tool called the Brief Interview for Mental Status. And it is a mandatory part of assessments that must be done when a patient is in a rehab facility or if they're living in a skilled nursing facility long term. And so this is a test the federal government has put its faith in. It has been studied. It's been found to be reliable and valid. And it's being accomplished on about 1.5 million people in this country on a regular basis.
Right.
So with this being a screening tool that is well understood by the federal government that processes Medicare and Medicaid claims, it made sense to us that this is the tool that we should advocate for. So we will have a standard measure in medical practices and a number that could be understood as the patient moves around the healthcare system, just like your other vital signs, pulse, blood pressure, temperature, respirations, and so on.
I found it fascinating when you said that just when we take routine blood tests, we get certain scores perhaps, and we don't automatically assume somebody's blood sugar is high, that they have diabetes, that we go, that we do follow up. And we're not really doing that in this space. But if you just tuned in, as you can tell, we have a very, very full conversation ahead with my guest, Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care. We're talking about Alzheimer's. We're talking about her conference. We're talking about her recent development of screening protocol at a couple of local area physicians. We're going to come back. I know many of you saw the 60 Minutes show. We're going to talk a little bit about that. We're going to talk more about the conference. In fact, we're going to do nothing but talk for the rest of the show. But if you have any questions for us, don't hesitate to call 1-877-960-9960. That's 1-877-960-9960. We'll be right back.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys are proud to be a family-owned and operated business.
That's right, Mike. It's myself and my husband, Tino, my sister, Melissa, and her husband, Joe, and my parents, Irene and Scott Greenberg. As you can tell by six family members being able to work together, family is extremely important to us. Our clients often have kids that live out of state or even overseas, and those extended family members want to have the comfort of being able to contact a family member at any time to follow up on how mom or dad is doing. While you are able to reach a family member at any time, our office staff is truly part of our extended family. They monitor the phones 24/7 in case of an emergency and are empowered to make decisions that are in the best interest of the client, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of your condition, that determines the quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or visit our website at palmbeach.comfortcare.com. That's palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, caregiver stress is a real condition and it's becoming an epidemic.
That's right, Mike. Chronic diseases like Parkinson's, MS, Alzheimer's, cancer, among others, affect more than just the person with the diagnosis. They affect the entire family, oftentimes putting added stress on the primary family caregiver. In fact, 64% of family caregivers who do not seek outside help will predecease their loved one living with Alzheimer's disease. Even just a few hours of respite care a week can give someone a much-needed break so that they can be the best caregiver they can be. Whether it's time to schedule a hair appointment, a card game, an exercise class, or lunch with friends. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Scott Greenberg, Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. If you're out on the roads tonight, please be careful. The weather is really, really bad. And we want you to be really, really safe. So take it easy. 5 minutes more getting home won't make a difference. I know that person in front of you going too slow is annoying you. Get over it. Relax. You'll be fine. Take it easy. If you're listening on 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, of course, it is still raining. 106.9 up on the Treasure Coast. We encourage you to be careful as well. I'm here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care's Educational. Well, she's with Alzheimer's Community Care, and we're talking about the Alzheimer's Community Care Educational Conference. And we're also talking about early recognition of some cognitive impairment that may or may not have anything to do with Alzheimer's disease, and it has to do with just being aware of what's going on. And Karen, in her preparation for her doctoral thesis, developed a program with a couple of primary care physicians, and she has some interesting stats and an interesting viewpoint about how this can be utilized and why it may be a game changer for you. So I'm going to, Karen, just let's keep rocking and rolling on this.
Well, what we found was very interesting, and this data reflects screening of 218 people, so that's quite a large sample. And about 9% actually scored as what we call moderately impaired on the brief interview for mental status. And again, that is the test that the federal government mandates for everyone being treated in a skilled rehab or living in a skilled nursing home. So it's a well-known, well-vetted, and well-studied cognitive screen. Now, moderate impairment means that they scored between 8 and 12 points, where they could have scored up to 15. And the test is very simple. It begins with immediate repetition of three words. We state three words for the person to repeat, and hopefully they can repeat all three. The next section is temporal orientation. So we're asking for the current year, the current month, the current day of the week. And then the screen wraps up with what's called recall. Let's go back to that earlier question. What were the three words I asked you to remember? So it's incredibly simple. It's very quick to administer. And when someone of 50 or 51 or 57 years old has trouble scoring all 15 points on that simple screen, we should be concerned. Does it mean they have Alzheimer's? No. But it means something is going on that should be looked at, and it could be one of those treatable conditions we mentioned earlier: clinical depression, vitamin B12 deficiency, hypothyroidism, simple things that are simple to test for, not expensive, and really very simple to treat. So in this screening, what you would do with someone who is not able to score the full point, first of all, ask them, is there something that's happened recently that might be impairing your ability? Right. Maybe they didn't sleep last night. Maybe they feel that they're developing an illness. Maybe they've had some serious emotional upset that day. That could be a very superficial reason for why they're having a problem. So you'd screen at another time when things are calmer. Or you do those lab tests to look for the treatable conditions. Now, if you don't find any treatable conditions, if all the labs are normal, or you treat treatables but they still don't get better on the screen, that should be an immediate referral to neurology. It shouldn't be, we'll test you again next year, because in a year there can be a lot of cognitive decline.
And your point is that this should be standard operating procedure. This should not, we should not request this. This should be much like our CBCs are in blood work. It should be SOP in every doctor visit for every adult over a certain age, or every adult. It doesn't matter.
You would have to argue that it really should be every adult, because we now know that we have young people.
Right.
That have symptoms of cognitive impairment from head injury, from certain illnesses, certain genetic impacts such as Huntington's disease, Down syndrome. Right. Someone with Down syndrome may actually develop Alzheimer's by the age of 40.
Wow.
And so there's really no reason to be excluding any adult, but our healthcare system still does that.
Right.
And we sometimes see physicians who are willing to screen those who are over 65. Well, that may screen for your typical age-related Alzheimer's disease, but what about all the other conditions? Head trauma, Lewy body disease, Huntington's, and so on. So this really should be a standard for all adults, as standard as blood sugar, as standard as blood pressure, as standard as lipid profiles. This is why we are doing better now with so many diseases, because we screen. The survival for breast cancer is enormous. I'm a nurse, right? 44 right. years. I have seen an incredible change from when I first came into nursing. And over the last 17 years, deaths from breast cancer, prostate cancer, heart disease, and stroke have all gone down significantly. Deaths from HIV are down 61% in the last 17 years. Death from Alzheimer's, up 145%.
Right, and most people think it's the sixth leading cause, and I know you and I both realize that it's
the
probably
math doesn't
the
seem
fourth.
To work anymore.
Right, right. It's the third or right. fourth leading cause of death. If you're just tuning in, of course, this is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We're talking about Alzheimer's disease tonight. I'm here with Dr. Karen Gilbert from Alzheimer's Community Care. We're going to come back and remind everybody the details of the conference that we're here to talk about. We are, when we come back out of the break, going to talk about the 60 Minutes show on frontotemporal. I know last week I got a call from Paul, and I offered him to call me directly in the office. He didn't. I make that offer again if he'd like to call back tonight and talk to Karen, who is much better an expert than am I. I encourage that as well. But if anybody else wants to call, all you have to do is pick up the phone and dial 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Tino from Comfort Care Senior Services. Tino, you train all of your caregivers on how to deal with those who are struggling with Alzheimer's disease, right?
I do, Mike. This disease process is frightening for everyone, and change is the scariest thing for most people. Where we should start is changing the way we think. People are not dying from Alzheimer's disease. They are living with it, and we have to figure out a way for them to keep on living their best life possible. I always say activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities is what gives people a life worth living. Properly training caregivers on all sorts of dementia is very important. Learning about behavior modification techniques, avoiding triggers, tapping into the abilities that are preserved the longest with people with dementia, and figuring out what's important to them are all vital tools caregivers need to understand. Remember, it's about the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620 or visit us on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
I'm here with Allison from Comfort Care Senior Services. Allison, at Comfort Care, you guys really look at every client differently.
Activities of daily living keep people alive. Meaningful activities give people a life worth living. That's why at Comfort Care, we complete a social history for our clients. It taps into one's life story to help caregivers know more about who this person was and, quite frankly, still is. It asks questions like, what did you do for a living? What volunteer work did you do? What was your favorite book or movie? Were you in the military? And the list goes on. Understanding background like this is helpful in creating meaningful activities. For example, if someone was a cartographer in the Army, perhaps a trip to the library to look at old maps of where they were station might be an interesting activity. If someone were an avid golfer, perhaps a makeshift putting green might be a fun outing. We couple that with a day in the life, which asks more of the daily routine questions, so a caregiver coming in is already familiar with the schedule. It makes the adjustment to having a caregiver that much easier. Caregivers want to help their clients live their best life possible. Being armed with the right information can help, because at Comfort Care, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines your quality of life. Call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, it is Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Please drive carefully tonight. The weather's awful. Take care of yourself and be safe. I'm here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert is with Alzheimer's Community Care. Alzheimer's Community Care's educational conference is coming up on May 29th at the PGA Golf and Resort. We'll tell you more of the details before the show is over. We've been talking in the last segment about a study, or I guess part of her thesis that Karen did to identify cognitive impairment or cognitive issues early. And as we figured out, not all of it is necessarily Alzheimer's disease or related diseases. It could be something entirely different and something incredibly treatable, which makes it a shame that so many people are afraid to find out. And Karen, I guess that's really the point, isn't it?
Yes. And, you know, just as we are no longer afraid to get mammograms or colonoscopies because we now know that if we identify something earlier, we will survive it, same needs to be said about screening for cognitive impairment. No one should be afraid to be screened. Highly likely that there'll be a treatable cause, but even if there isn't, and a neurologist does identify either Alzheimer's or another irreversible disease, the earlier they're able to address it, the better that person will do. If there's one thing we now know, after all these years of research and literally a couple of thousand clinical trials in Alzheimer's disease, we have no cure. We have no treatment that modifies the disease. We have a couple of medications with questionable effectiveness that only treat symptoms. They do nothing to change the underlying disease. So what does that teach us? That teaches us we need to act early. We don't want to get to that point. So no one should be afraid to be screened, now knowing that the earlier we can address it, the better.
So I want to shift gears for a little before we come back to the conference, because I have a lot more to ask about the conference as well, and I have other things to ask you as well. There was a very moving segment on 60 Minutes, I think it was 2 weeks ago, about frontotemporal dementia, and it impacted a young man who was about 40, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
And it was a very touching story. But frontotemporal is a serious issue, and we don't have any most people don't understand what it is. And so can we talk about that segment and some observations that you have about it?
Yes. Two things really stood out in that segment. The first patient that was interviewed was older. I believe she was in her 60s. And she was very high functioning. Her deficits were more in the temporal area of the brain than the frontal. So temporal is language and memory, and that's where she certainly had her challenges. The second gentleman, who was much, much younger, appeared to have much more frontal lobe involvement. You could see it in his behaviors, and he was much more profoundly affected. And here we have to appreciate that he was very young. And if we only talk about screening people 65 and older, that allows someone of his age to get to the point he got to, right, without any substantive intervention. Right. Screen all adults because of the risk of head injury causing a problem. We don't really know that much about frontal temporal disease. We don't really know what sets it off. But we do know it strikes people in their 40s. So why are we not screening? Because, again, our only hope is getting someone earlier. We can initiate an individualized care plan. Once there's been significant brain damage, though, there is no coming back.
Right.
And so I honestly think that our healthcare system fails us when we know these diseases can strike earlier. Why are we not advocating screening for all adults? How many football players do we need to hear about in their 30s?
Right.
That have significant deficits,
CTA,
and again, are not
right,
noticed right, until they're too far along.
Right. And so I know, and I want to talk about this after our next break, because I want to talk about this, but you've kind of coined the phrase proactive and preventative versus reactive and remedial. And that's kind of really what you're talking about here. It's like it's being ahead of the problem instead of reacting to the problem.
Well, and one of the things we do know is that, let's talk about Alzheimer's again, because it is responsible for 70% of all irreversible neurocognitive decline. There's no one thing that causes Alzheimer's.
Right.
There are many things that cause Alzheimer's or contribute to its development. So on the one hand, that could be a little scary, but it's also an incredible opportunity because we now know we have a whole array of lifestyle choices that will decrease our risk. And even one of our most conservative experts, Dr. Galvin, who is speaking at the conference as well, and he is an incredible speaker, he says at least 30% of age-related Alzheimer's can be prevented.
Right.
That's huge. We have the power to decide if we smoke. We have the power to work on getting quality sleep. We have the power to decide which diet we will adopt, and no expert disagrees. The Mediterranean diet is incredibly protective. It's not an inflammatory diet. Inflammation contributes to neurocognitive decline and Alzheimer's. Physical activity, 150 minutes a week, and you don't have to join a gym. You can just walk.
Right.
150 minutes spread over a week. That's not too much for most. Challenging yourself to keep learning. It's one of the reasons I went back to school at this stage when many are thinking about planning retirement. I decided to go back to school. It's an amazing thing to do, but learning a musical instrument, learning to dance, a local adult education course, anything you do that's new to you is working the brain. Responding to stress in a healthier way. Many of these lists will say, manage the stress in your life. You can't manage the stress. You have to change the way you react to it.
Precisely.
And we all have the power to do that. We choose how we react when things stress us. Staying socially active, incredibly important. Keeping those social contacts. Head protection, how simple is that? Wear a helmet if you ride a bike or if you ride a motorcycle. Always wear your seatbelt. No exceptions. Using your non-dominant hand. There's a really simple one. If you're right-handed, the left side of your brain is the more active. So if you start to use your left hand for common tasks, you're actually exercising the other half of the brain.
I've never heard that before. That's great.
It's a great one. That's and great. It's free. Most of these things, really, there's no cost to adopting. Now we know taking care of your teeth. A common bacteria that causes gum disease has now been associated with Alzheimer's. The belief is that the brain starts to react to that infection, and that's what causes the overproduction of amyloid, leading to the breakdown of tau protein. So we maintain our dental health. Floss, without exception. Keep those two visits a year, at least. Very new information. And then resetting your mindset. What do we mean by that? Some people can take 2 or 3 minutes just to close their eyes, focus on breathing, tune everything else out. Meditation.
Meditation, right.
If you can do 10 minutes, even better. Yoga, Reiki, these are things that are incredibly protective. So very simple ways. The more of these that you adopt, the better protected you are. We get questions a lot about genetics and what is the genetic component. So the APOE4 gene is associated with a higher risk of developing Alzheimer's, but not 100% higher. And one of our speakers from 2016, Dr. Kenneth Kosick from the University of California, you remember,
right,
you interviewed
sure.
him. He talked about genetics. You can overcome genetics with lifestyle choices. That is his belief. It's in his book.
That's amazing.
So,
if you're just tuning in, it's Scott Greenberg. Oh, my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. Here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert, who clearly is an expert in the world of Alzheimer's and dementia and related diseases. If you have any questions for Karen or for me, you can give us a call at 877-960-9960. That's 877-960-9960.
I'm here with Melissa from Comfort Care Senior Services. Melissa, at Comfort Care, you're an agency, not a nurse registry, right?
Yes, Mike. When looking at home care in South Florida, there are two types of companies, and on the front, we look very much the same. We're an agency, which means all of our caregivers are our employees. They are licensed, bonded, and insured. We pay the professional liability insurance, we pay the workers' comp insurance, the overtime, and we pay the employment taxes. In other words, we are the true employer. When working with a nurse registry, the client is the employer, and that matters. Another big difference is the ability to train. Agencies are allowed to train, and we do. We conduct both field training and in-home training. A nurse registry's caregivers are deemed experts in their field and therefore are not allowed to be trained by the registry over and above what the state requires. We also have a very rigorous hiring process. The caregiver pool in South Florida is huge, and we strive to hire the top 20%. We do that in a few ways, including testing, interviews, background checks over and above what the state requires, and passing the family test. Remember, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines their quality of life. Let our family take care of your family. Call us at 561-630-1620.
Do your parents live in South Florida? We know it can be difficult to be there for them when you live far away. As mom and dad get older, things can change in an instant. Are you prepared? Finding a trusted local expert to coordinate and provide care makes all the difference. Elder Care 360 can provide you and your family the proper guidance, support, and education to resolve everyday issues that can impact healthcare challenges and more. As a patient advocate, Elder Care 360 brings together decades of experience as patient-focused professionals to assist you and your families with their routine activities of living and healthcare challenges. Being proactive is the best way to ensure the best possible outcome for you and your family during these times. Call us to see how we can help before the crisis at 561-713-1800. Make Elder Care 360 part of your team. Elder Care 360, patient advocacy, coordination of services, and full circle of care. 561-713-1800.
I'm here with Scott Greenberg from Comfort Care Senior Services. Scott, you're very involved when it comes to the senior community.
That's right, Mike. We firmly believe that involvement in the community, giving back to the community, comes back to us in many, many ways. One of the ways it comes back to us is in our understanding of what's going on, what's new, what's trending. So we're very involved in the guardianship community, for example. We're involved in Alzheimer's community care, in the Alzheimer's Association, in Parkinson's. We run support groups. Basically, what I'm saying is that we want to be a part of the community in ways that we just don't receive benefit, but that we can give benefit as well. It's very important for us to understand the needs of the entire community and the needs of other people who are providing services. It is only through that that we can ensure that we provide the best care possible. Remember, Mike, it's the quality of care, not the severity of one's condition, that determines the quality of their life. So remember, let our family take care of your family and call us at 561-630-1620. That's 561-630-1620, or look us up on the web at palmbeach.comfortcare.com.
Welcome back to Oh My God, I'm Getting Older and So Is My Mom with Scott Greenberg of Comfort Care Senior Services. Reach Scott with your questions, 877-960-9960. Now, back to Scott.
Welcome back, everybody. Yes, indeed, Scott Greenberg. Oh My God, I'm Getting Older, So Is My Mom. Here tonight with Dr. Karen Gilbert. Dr. Gilbert, or Karen, as I know her for years, Karen is with Alzheimer's Community Care, and they're about to have their annual educational conference at PGA Resort. We're going to give you all the details about that in just a minute. I'm also going to give, you know, I asked the nice gentleman who called me last week to call in, and he has, so I'm going to give him my contact information in just a few minutes, and when I do that, I'll give you Karen's contact information as well. But Karen, the conference is coming up. It's the 29th. You want to talk about. I'm trying to think how to phrase the question. You want to talk about what doctors want to know, right? Or what you have learned that is important. Because when we talk about educating the people who are attending the conference, which will be both family caregivers and professionals, right? I know we want to talk about that. The need for more information is across the board. It's not just the patient or the person struggling with the disease.
It really is.
It is, in fact, the entire community that associates with Alzheimer's.
And one of the reasons we have such a knowledge gap is there has been no mandated continuing education for healthcare professionals in Alzheimer's and related disorders. None. So if they've been out of school even 5 or 10 years, they know none of this new information. We have excellent physicians, we have excellent nurses and nurse practitioners, but they can't know what they don't know. There was nowhere in this country that mandated education, even though it's a national priority with close to 6 million known affected patients. Only recently, last August, Massachusetts is the first state to say that physicians and nurses must get educated in Alzheimer's and related disorders, or they will not be able to renew their licenses. We need to see the same happen here, where we have 1/10 of the nation's population of affected patients. In the newest Alzheimer's Disease Facts and Figures report, and it is new, I think it's out less than 1 month, physicians were polled 96% said they want guidance on which cognitive screening tool they should be using. They want to know what to do if that screening indicates an impairment, 94%. They want to know how to implement this screening into their practice. It's easy. You saw how simple that test is. They can teach anyone in the office to administer it. It doesn't need to be a physician or a nurse. 88% didn't know which patients they should be screening. Well, we just decided that. All adults. Exactly.
Right. Everybody.
And 88% want to know when an assessment is normal. When should they retest? Annually, or when the patient complains.
Right.
So if the patient suddenly has a new complaint, that's when you should screen, just as you would if they had headaches, you would look for high blood pressure, and so on and so forth. And so this is interesting because as of 2 years ago, Medicare has started to pay physicians and nurse practitioners to assess cognition. And it's a pretty steep fee. It's almost $250 that they can charge for this, but they gave no guidance. Which tools should you use? Who should you be screening? What kind of care plan should you create when you see a problem?
Yeah.
So we still have a gap.
It's amazing. So I want everybody to come to your conference.
So do we.
So what do they do? How do they get tickets? How much do tickets cost? Where can they go to find them? Can they show up at the door? Give us the details.
Absolutely. Our website is allscare.org. Very simple. ALZCARE.org. You can register for the conference online, or you can simply call our office Monday to Friday, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., 561-683-2700. And for family caregivers, the conference is $45 for the entire day. Sit-down breakfast, sit-down lunch, snacks in between. It's an amazing day.
And the ability to interface with all the professionals who
absolutely
are going to be there, which is
family
amazing.
Caregivers sit side-by-side with healthcare professionals, and those healthcare professionals really begin to learn what our family caregivers need. So it truly is an amazing day. Now, those who are professionals, the fee is $65, and if they actually need to earn continuing education credit, or physicians needing what's called a CME, continuing medical education, the fee is $95, and they do earn 6 hours of credit for that day, with which we submit very, very promptly when the conference closes.
So we're going to give you the opportunity in a minute to tell everybody again where it is and the hours, et cetera, but it is May 29th. It's at the PGA Resort. $45 for a family caregiver. $45 includes breakfast and lunch. You can't
and all the giveaways.
and all the giveaways, et cetera, that you can pick up from the exhibitors. It's going to be wonderful. Paul, if you're still listening, you want to how you can reach me. My phone number is 561-630-1620. That's my office number, 561-630-1620. You can leave a message and I will call you back. I'm out tomorrow morning, but if you call me, I promise I will call you back, and I will answer all your questions and point you in the right direction, as we talked about last week. But I also encourage you, as I do everyone, to come to this conference. Anyway, if you tune in late and you're sorry you did because you missed such a wonderful show with Dr. Karen Gilbert, the good news is we podcast. Yes, we do. It'll be up on the iTunes podcast platform and the other platforms tomorrow. All you have to do is search OMG, I'm Getting an Up Will Pop. If you'd like to listen to us, but you don't always have a radio, you do have a smartphone. I know you do, because you're all very smart people. So there's an app that you can listen. All you have to do is download the free TuneIn Radio app. TuneIn Radio, TuneIn Radio app. Just set the reminder for 6 o'clock every Monday night, because that's when we are here, for WSVU. Those are all call letters. I also rebroadcast the show on my website, palmbeach.comforcare.com. And, of course, with all of that, and being on iHeartRadio, et cetera, 95.9 in the Palm Beaches, 106.9 on the Treasure Coast, we also simulcast, www.comforcare.com. TrueOldiesFLA.com. Next week, from Denmark, Nina Groning. She's going to be here talking about her book about respectful collaboration. I spoke with her today. It's a very interesting story, and I'm looking forward to talking to her. In 2 weeks, it's Memorial Day, so I won't be here, and my guess is you won't either. But if you are, we're going to have a terrific show. We'll replay a show that night for you, and I want everybody to be tuning in then. The week after is a show you're not going to want to miss. And that's about CBD. There's a whole lot of interesting information about CBD out there. We're going to tell you how you can avoid being arrested at Disneyland for carrying it. But we're going to be talking about CBD the week after Memorial Day. I'm going to be giving Karen the opportunity to give all the details again about the Alzheimer's Educational Conference, but there is also a Parkinson's Symposium the day after, which is on May 30th, and that is going to be at the Marriott Palm Beach Gardens. It's from 8 a.m. to 12 noon, Thursday, May 30th. There's breakfast and registration. It's free, but advanced registration is required. You can call Krista Ellis at 305-537-9960, or go online to www.parkinson.org/Palm Beach. Dr. Dalvey is going to be there, who is really the Parkinson's expert in the region, and Anna Nato from the Parkinson's Foundation as well. You're not going to want to miss that. I also want to remind everybody that we do eight different locations, both Parkinson's support groups and Alzheimer's support groups. And in Boca Raton, we do ours twice a month. But we do one in Green Acres, Fort Pierce, Boca, Stewart, Boynton Beach, West Palm Beach Gardens, and Lake Worth. So if you have any questions about that, you can reach me at my office, 561-630-1620, and we can give you all of the details. Karen, we don't have a lot of time left, and there was so much I want to talk to you about, and we just didn't get to it. I didn't get the opportunity to tell everybody about the wonderful training you're doing for new physicians at the University of Miami. We didn't really drill down into the proactive and preventative aspect. We didn't even really talk that much about ACC, but let's talk about the conference again. Who's coming? Who should come? Where is it? Let's do all of the specifics.
Family
again.
Caregivers and healthcare professionals in every discipline benefit with this conference. In addition to our Secretary of the Department of Elder Affairs, Richard Prudhom, and former Governor Martin Schreiber of Wisconsin, and Ted Fisher, the CEO of Ageless Innovation, our six breakout sessions include Dr. Galvin, who's such a brilliant researcher in neurocognitive disease. But guess what? His focus for this presentation is caring for the caregiver.
Right.
So that will be amazing. Drs. Patel and Dr. Vastola are doing two different but related presentations on non-pharmacological approaches. We take too many prescriptions.
We take too many drugs in this country.
Exactly. So Dr. Patel will be addressing behaviors and how those can be addressed without medications. And Dr. Vastola is talking about approaches to general health that are less dependent on prescriptions. Dr. Deborah DeVolio, a professor at Florida Atlantic University, is an expert on delirium, a common acute condition that is missed in our country up to 80% of the time.
Scary
when delirium statistics. Is missed, it is untreated. And if untreated, patients with delirium experience repeated hospital admissions and a higher rate of mortality within 1 year. So for anyone that has a loved one that might be in the hospital for an elective procedure or an emergency procedure, they need to know about delirium and what they can do. And then Anthony Palmieri of the clerk's office will be talking about how the clerk's office is working to protect our vulnerable adults.
And I'm good friends with Anthony from both of our efforts in the world of guardianship. We serve together both on the board of the Florida State Guardianship Association and on the board of the National Guardianship Association. He's a terrific guy, and the clerk is doing an amazing job in this county. Most people don't appreciate the work of the clerk's office. So I'm glad Anthony's going to be there.
Yes.
And then, of course, the only other two people that are maybe worth spending a few minutes with would be myself.
Absolutely.
And Tino. And I'm looking forward,
of
course, to being there.
Your presentation, we are really looking forward to.
This is going to be a wonderful conference. You know, you're always such a great guest. I never have enough time to talk to you. I wish when you were here that the show were 2 hours. I can't thank you enough for being here. I can't wish you enough success in the conference. You, I know, are going to knock it out of the park. We have a whole lot more to talk about. There is progress. I think what we learned today tonight is not only can you come and get educated at the conference, but you should not be afraid to both find out more or to be diagnosed. There is promise. There are things that can improve the quality of life for the people who are struggling with Alzheimer's and dementia. This is Scott Greenberg. Oh my God, I'm getting older. So is my mom. We are here every Monday night at 6 o'clock talking about issues that confront boomers and their parents. We hope that you tune in next week and every week for Oh My God, I'm Getting Older. And so is my mom. Good night, all.